Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available weekdays on iHeartRadio.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Tuesday, the 9th of January, 2024. Normally, when we bring up the topic of councils, they're highly religious in nature. In 681, the king of the Visigoths calls one. He had been king for just over 2 months. There may have been a wider purpose, but it seems he wanted to make a point that the church and state would be united to punish his opponents and make a statement against the Jews. The council promulgated 28 laws against Jews in the region. Recall, the Visigoths lived in modern-day Spain. Europe was not a completely friendly place for Jews at any time. In 1349, bubonic plague was rampaging the countryside, and folks had no idea why, just large numbers were dying. In Basel, Switzerland, the rumor was that Jews were the cause of the disease, or at the very least, the carriers. The local population is rounded up and incinerated, except for the children, which were forcibly baptized and sent away to monasteries. If nothing else, we can see the idea of conquest by the re-education of children. The tensions were deeper than just the plague. Jewish populations were frequently the de facto banks, or at the least, lenders of money. The upper class were aligned with the Jews, from whom they borrowed money, and the lower classes disliked both. Then there were the church's teachings that contemporary Jews should be seen as culpable for the crucifixion of Christ, and it's a historical fact the church in the Middle Ages did not understand the concept of tolerance. The trial of Joan of Arc begins in 1431. Some students of history may know a bit about this event, if only the outcome. But it really is a twisted tale that involves the English versus French conflicts. Joan was a French political and military figure. But during fighting between the two peoples, she is taken a prisoner of war. But the English are not content with just that. They find a friendly church in Normandy and have her tried on charges of heresy. Joan had gained her place in military affairs after a series of visions, which allowed her to lead the French in a series of victories. The affair will continue until late March with a series of 15 sessions, each lasting a day. The intent was to find some character flaw or breach of church dogma by which she could be convicted. In the end, they have her burned at the stake, mostly for refusing to denounce the visions and wearing men's clothes. What were we saying about intolerance? This type of justice was not far from the minds of our founding fathers when they decided they did not want the government in church affairs. There is not a provision keeping the church out of government affairs. Jean-Pierre Blanchard is the first person to fly a balloon in the United States. The year is 1793. President George Washington witnesses the flight of the hydrogen-filled balloon, along with five future presidents. British Admiral Nelson had been killed in the Battle of Trafalgar on the 21st of October. Nearly 10 weeks later, his state funeral is held on this day in 1806. Nelson was a highly respected naval officer. While a common sailor would have been buried at sea, and maybe lower officers, Nelson's body was placed in a cask of wine and sent back to England. British inventor Humphrey Davy tests his mine safety lamp in 1816. The idea was an open flame encased in a metal mesh screen would not ignite an explosion. The idea was workable and remains the basis for some open flame lamps that are still occasionally used today. The French Academy of Sciences announces the daguerreotype photography process in 1839. A 7.9 earthquake shakes Central California in 1857, centered about 75 miles northwest of Bakersfield. This was roughly equal in strength to the one that struck San Francisco in 1906. Known as the Fort Tejon quake, it was located on the well-known San Andreas Fault. While the firing upon Fort Sumter is considered the opening shots of the Civil War, Charleston Harbor is the site on this day of an earlier event that might be in the running for the title. The ship, the Star of the West, arrives to restock the garrison at Fort Sumter, and when she is fired upon by students of the military academy, the Citadel. President Nixon is born in 1913. NFL player and coach Bart Starr is born in 1934. He was a native of Alabama, but made his football career solely in Green Bay. Starr played from 1956 to 1971. Actor Bob Denver was born in 1935. Does the name ring a bell? He only played a couple of roles, the beatnik Maynard Krebs and Gilligan. Folks are still debating if Gilligan was his first name or last name. As deep as Hollywood can get into backstories, this detail was missed. Folk singer Joan Baez is 83. Singer Bill Cowsill is born in 1948. He was the lead singer of the family group The Cowsills. Think of the musical Hair. I was looking yesterday to find a hockey birthday to feature. I was just a day early. Rob McClanahan is 66 today. He was a member of the 1980 USA Olympic hockey team, played for the University of Minnesota, and four seasons with various professional teams. While I could barely spell hockey in 1980, I was at the right age group of the team, if a bit towards the younger side. NASA announces in 1962 the plans to build what they call the C-5, or Advanced Saturn Launch Vehicle. The five-engine stage will be very close to the actual Saturn V, first stage that took men to the moon. 2007, Apple announces the iPhone. There are few limits to the ways bad players can wreak havoc. The more open and free the society, the more the ways. 2015, there's a mass poisoning at a funeral in Mozambique when the beer is contaminated. I realize that folks are divided in their feelings of President Trump, but the circus that is going on in the courts should scare thinking Americans. The basic question is, the president has certain duties as president. Those are spelled out in the Constitution. But now we have lawyers and judges arguing if he can be held liable for acting under those duties. This is not a good place. If we can adjudicate a president's actions after the fact, this removes a serious amount of his authority and places it with the legal beagles and not the president or the electors. Maybe I should call up Gary Varvel with a cartoon idea. The president acts, and a panel then scores the actions. In the cartoon, the panel can be made up of donkeys. That's History and Comment for the 9th day of January. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.